This is the DTV Digest, the podcast that brings you news and reviews of films which didn't make it to the cinema. And now, here's your host, Mike Parkin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the DTV Digest Short Shots, the podcast where me and Rich look exclusively at a bunch of short films. In this episode, we're looking at the Stylist's Short Cuts collection. This celebrates and supports female filmmakers working on both sides of the camera within the horror film industry. We've got a bunch of these to look at. They're all very short. I think most is about 5 minutes long. But we're going to sort of crack on straight away. So the first film we're looking at is called Alchemia. This is directed by Natasha Thomas. In this one, a woman coerces her husband into some very dark bedroom games. At least that's what I got out of this, Rich. This is probably the most obtuse of the films we'll be looking at. It's got a very heavily edited style to it. It's almost like strobing imagery at you. It's sort of very staccato kind of sort of cutting between scenes. I'd be interested to see what you got out of this.
Not a lot, to be honest. I couldn't really click with it at all. It's a montage. It's very montage. There's no dialogue. It's a piece of music. So it's a musical sequence montage. You've got to it's cutting between moments of intimacy and, you know, violent actions, you know, perhaps taking place at the same time, perhaps not. It was hard for me to sort of put the pieces together on it. I watched it twice. It wasn't for me, this one.
It seemed to me that there was this couple who invited a third member into their sort of bedroom, as it were, but for sort of nefarious reasons. And the woman was sort of urging the man on to use a knife, basically. That's where I saw it. Whether or not that's correct or not, I'm not sure. But it was interesting. It did have a sort of disturbing element to it, but it was very obtuse as to what the actual narrative was. But so that was our starter for 10. Our next film is called Attention. There's a nice little bit of dialogue comes up at the beginning. It says, "If you encounter a demon, do your best to ignore it, as it will feed off attention." These are wise words, but difficult to follow when you're alone in bed, as one woman discovers. This is a bit more sort of conventional for us, Rich. It's an interesting thing. Have you seen the film, the Japanese version of The Grudge?
Ju-on, yes.
Yeah, Ju-on. There's a bit in that which I felt was like really true to life, in that this woman was scared and she's in bed. So what does she do? She pulls the covers over her head, to try and make things go away. And that's kind of what I saw here, is this, this woman on her own, and it's like, well, if I put my headphones on, I can sort of drown it out. But the imagery in this one really worked, that bit where she sort of, spots something in the corner and it sort of develops and it slowly comes, it's like, almost like a photo developing, it sort of develops into the real life.
She spots an ass. That's what she spots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then it's sort of like, it develops more and more into this sort of figure.
Oh yeah, it's very creepy.
It is very, very well done. And the sound effects and everything, it was a good sort of cutting between her, what she's listening to her headphones to what's actually in the room with her.
And she's like taking her headphone out and it's like, put the headphone back in.
I think I'd be exactly the same in this situation, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's got the, like the one before, it's completely dialogue free, but it's much more, say, like you say, conventional. It is a scene. It's conventionally shot. It's simple but stylish, and the sort of scares, it follows a through line. It is a proper little story sort of moment, not Meet Jimmy kind of thing. I don't know if you guys might not have seen Meet Jimmy, but that's kind of a similar kind of situation, which involves that one, that's a very different kind of story, but it was, you know, it's a woman in threat, you know, from some sort of supernatural something around her. Very familiar horror convention, you know. The seen a lot of it, and we'll see more of it, I think, in this collection. But yeah, I think the whole trying to, you know, acknowledging it's, you know it's there, but you're trying to avoid it. I think that's, you know, just not give your attention. I don't think I've seen that aspect of it. You know, we've had things like Nightmare on Elm Street, where you know the characters are swinging. You know, if you don't give him your fear, or you know, you don't, you know, give him, you know, you don't show him that kind of respect or acknowledgement, then he'll go away. You know, the boogeyman can only come if you want him to. You know, it's like the vampire can only come in if you invite them. Or, you know, it's like you can get through it and they'll go away, kind of thing. And that's what she's hoping. But the way things turn out, it doesn't kind of end that way.
There's a film that Will and I covered on this show called The Night. It's about a family staying in this weird hotel and sort of weird shit going on. And I sort of said to him at the time that, you know, okay, the ghost stuff would have to work a lot harder for it even to register with me, because I'd have just slept through it. And I got a feeling that this is probably similar for me. You know, I think any sort of demon would have probably give up on me a long time ago. Can't wake him up. Anyway, yeah, so that was Attention. It's very good.
And who was that by?
That was directed by Nora Unkel.
Nora Unkel.
Yeah.
I think she, because these are all on Arrow, I think she's got like an introductory video on there that people would be able to check out as well.
Cool. Our next film is Bedbug. A young woman wakes in panic. There's something wrong in the house. Something she forgot to check before going to bed. But what? I really like this one. Very good black and white photography. Shot in a sort of almost close caption, sort of weird sort of aspect ratio to sort of make it a little bit more sort of claustrophobic.
Yeah, I think it's more like it's like an Academy ratio kind of thing.
Yeah. And you follow this woman, you know, I think we've kind of all been there to a certain degree, sort of, you know, getting up in the middle of the night, sort of, did he lock the front door? You know, why is that window still open? You know, all that sort of stuff, you know, plays on that sort of thing, and it sort of builds up and builds up quite nicely. And then we got this sort of almost like a Joe Lansdale kind of twist to the story, which I really liked as well. So yeah, I just thoroughly like this.
Yeah, it follows on quite neatly from the last one, because it essentially does the same thing, which is someone's alone in the house, in the bedroom, you know, they're feeling scared, but the situation they're encountering is quite different. And the way it's all filmed is very different. It's got that, it's very eerie tone. You know, the black and white obviously contributes to that. That's what this kind of twist ending that comes along was very welcome. I thought it was quite clever. It's kind of one of those films that leaves you with more questions, you know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. That can be one of the benefits of short films, is that they're provocative in, you know, in terms of, you know, letting you kind of think, well, what on earth was actually going on there?
Absolutely. And there's another film we're going to talk about later which also sort of subverts your expectations, which I quite like. So, you know, it's almost like a theme there as well. Okay,
this one's an Irish one, I believe.
So this is directed by they come up as Zed and P. It's Zoe Holmes and Patrick McDonald. I think this works really, really well. I love the photography. There's a certain sort of expressionistic sort of
look
you know, the way it's lit, the cinematography. And it does sort of, you know, it plays on that sort of primal fear of like being alone at night in the house. Are you really secure? It works really, really well.
And I would say like something like, in terms of relating it to another a feature film, something like Hunter's Moon, which the one with like Thomas Jane and stuff, the way that kind of played with conventions of, you know, what you're expecting to happen and you know, things going in a different different direction.
Absolutely. So the next film, a bit of comedy now, we've got Bloodhound. So Dracula finds himself trapped in the body of a chihuahua and adopted and adopted by a pair of vegan hipsters. I like this a lot. It reminded me of, there's a bit in, did you watch Futurama?
A bit.
Yeah. There's a mind controlling alien that sort of like basically sits on your head. It's like a glob of slime. Uh-huh. This kind of reminded me of that. There's a bit where the human owners are being interviewed and they've got these two tiny bite marks on their neck.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was brilliant. Just a really nice touch. I thought it worked.
Well, that's all really good foreshadowing for what happens at the end, which I thought was quite nice the way that was put in there, because they don't draw attention to it.
No,
you just have watching it and you just sort of notice. Oh, you know, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought this was quite a fun little thing. A little bit sort of melancholic at the end. It's like, oh, you know, this sort of situation he finds him in.
Mr. Bubbles,
you know, he's gone from like being I hate you sort of thing. I want to turn back, and then it's like, no, come back, you've got to feed me the my little
doggy treat.
this works really, really well.
I think in a previous episode we talked about the workplace one with Timothy J. Cox.
Oh, the Jungle of Accounting.
So it's that kind of thing. It's kind of got an, like, I mean, it wouldn't be. It's a kind of an officey thing. I mean, it wouldn't be an interview because obviously the dog Dracula is narrating it, which wouldn't be possible. Whatever. So it's kind of playing with conventions, or whatever. But it does do the interview things and stuff. And so, yeah, David Brent vampire chihuahua, basically, kind of thing. How he ended up there, I don't know. I mean, it's very low budget. The ideas are fun. I do like, I say, the whole. The foreshadowing with the bite marks and what, you know, the payoff, the sort of end of it, because it is basically a sketch of the sort of punchline that happens kind of towards the end is a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this isn't we didn't say who the director was, I thought.
The director is Sofia Cacciola. The next one is The Curse. A young girl has her first period and A young girl has her first period and is visited during the night by the period fairy. This really feels like a sketch, this one. It almost feels like a Harry Enfield kind of thing. But it's done really well. The design of the period fairy is pretty grotesque.
Is the period fairy a thing, or is it just something that they've done in the movie? Because
I don't believe it's a real thing. No.
Okay.
I don't think you're supposed to put your first tampon under in the hope that.
Well, I didn't. I was just wondering because that's like that. Well, the way some of the stuff is portrayed in the thing, it does kind of make you wonder. But yeah, it does the what I like about this one is it's beginning, middle, end. You know, location changes. We've got the first scene where we establish the young girl and her brother. He's getting some money from the tooth fairy, so she's jealous, and then she has her period, and then that starts to. You know, she wants to get her own money that way, which I thought was novel. I haven't seen that before.
No, it's you know, as I said, the design of the tooth fairy, the period fairy is quite grotesque. You know, she's got the tampon string sort of like
hanging out of her nose.
Which reminded me of an old Goodies sketch.
The Goodies did sketches about tampons.
No, they did the thing about where they're looking after animals, and they had this thing called the nose vole.
Oh,
sort of coil up your nose, and it just be like the nose, you know, the tail hanging out.
Tail.
So that's just I'm showing my age, basically. But yeah, you know, this sort of grumpy woman sort of turns up, you know, sort of like nicking stuff and eating the crisps. And, you know, it's got this weird sort of like pattern on her skin. Yeah, just a sort of general sort of like kind of person, as you did kind of expect somebody in the midst of their period. You know, if you're having to sort of endure it day in, day out forever, you can imagine this sort of character. But yeah, again, you know, subverting expectations is this sort of interesting twist, which almost pushes it into sort of Adam's Family sort of territory, really.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. The yeah, and it does. It's foreshadowing again. You know, the stuff that happens in the opening scene. Mm. It's not just a cool way to start the short. It has impact. It's a payoff. The payoff reflects directly back at it, which is, you know, I always love it when stuff like that happens. We were talking about it in a film we watched recently on the DTV Digest, where the ending of the movie was essentially a replay of what we'd seen earlier, but, you know, twisting it. Yeah. And I think that's what we have happen here in a sort of a micro version. I mean, the girl playing, you know, the young girl in the lead's really good. We've got some family dynamic stuff. You know, there's dialogue, and you know, it's a proper little movie. It's a proper film for me, which I always appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and the credits. I love the credits as well, because they're all sort of DIY notebook kind of done, which I thought was good.
There's a funny bit where the fairy sort of flicking through her diary and stuff like that, and it's like, you know, you can see who her crush is and all that sort of stuff. You know, a lot of work went into the production of this. It's really cool. Our next film is Reptile House. A man looking to buy a snake gets far more than he bargained for as he is drawn into a mysterious woman's hound. Our next film is Reptile House. A man looking to buy a snake gets far more than he bargained for as he is drawn into a mysterious woman's home of exotic reptiles. This is probably the, I want to say, lightest one. It's probably got the most far-fetched ending.
Yeah, it's, a bit like that. It's kind of a little bit leaning towards that that Bollywood film we watched called Hiss.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting ending, but it could have worked without it. It's one of those things. Yeah, it's fun, but it didn't need it, if you see what I mean. It would have worked just as well without
that. But what would have the ending been if not that reveal?
I don't know. Well, the jacket's fine, you know.
Oh, the jacket. Yeah.
Keep the jacket, but you know, you wouldn't necessarily need the other bit, sort of the David Icke bit.
It's a bit of like a Poison Ivy character kind of thing going on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There's definitely a side of that, and you know, right at the beginning, when this guy turns up at this woman's house and she looks down and sees his, you know, his shoes, sort of his snake skin boots or whatever he's wearing, and you just know that he's on dangerous ground already, you know, and the fact that he's sort of,
and then he's being very disrespectful, saying, oh, you know, showing that he doesn't value the life of the animal, because he's come to buy a snake or something.
Come to buy a snake, but he sort of says like, "Oh well, if I don't get on with it, I suppose I'll get another pair of shoes out of it," which is, you know, probably the last thing he ever says. I enjoyed this a lot, and I like where it went. But at the same time, I'm thinking he didn't need to quite push it so far, into the sort of fantasy sort of bit. He could have sort of left it as, you know, this woman who's a bit homicidal when it comes to sort of treating her pets and other reptiles with respect.
Yeah, it's got some interesting. I mean, this is probably one of the most colourful films in the series. They're very, you know, got a lot of fluorescent lights and stuff. Neon, yeah. The I took note. She picks up this bottle in the shape of a skull.
Did you note that bit? And
I did,
I'm pretty sure that's a bottle of Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Head vodka, which is, you know, because it's very distinctive or whatever. I think that's what that prop is. It's just they've used that, which you know, it's good looking thing because I think she brains him with it or something, doesn't she?
She
something with it anyway. Yeah, and it's again, we get an intro, we get the interaction, you know, some nice dialogue. And then we get to the final act, which it kind of, you know, linked in with, again, something that happens in one of the other shorts that we watch. You know, what's happening there is not dissimilar. There's a bit more reason and explanation in this one. We know exactly where we stand. You know, there's no mysteries, you know, to ponder at the end, apart from perhaps who is she and where has she come from kind of thing. But you know, it could be a vampire story, it could be anything, you know. It's kind of
absolutely,
it's a very, yes, it's a neat film, you know. It's very structured and coordinated, yeah. And yeah, I like that about it.
Yeah, definitely. This is directed by Tristan Risk. She's mainly an actress, done loads and loads of films and shorts. This is her first directorial effort, and I think it speaks of good things for the future. So the next film we're going to look at is called Ticks. Three hikers in the woods come a cropper when they run into some eight-legged creatures. Obviously, the first thing we think of, Rich, is a certain Brian Yuzna-produced film.
Yep.
From a few years back, well, quite a few years back now. But yeah, I think this does a pretty decent job. The only, you know what my bugbear with this is, though, don't you?
Bugbear, no pun intended.
No pun intended. But it's, the film starts in media res.
Media res, yeah.
It's a 4-minute short and it starts in media res. Yeah, that doesn't sort of strike of confidence.
And even, to be honest, even when you get back to, when it comes back to where it starts, it doesn't actually go anywhere further, really. Not much. It moves it forward very slowly.
Yeah.
So.
But I like the setting. I like, you know, I like what happens. And that sort of final shot, it is blink and you'll miss it. You know, you may.
Oh, it's very good, nice little visual effect.
But I missed it the first time. I thought, oh, it's ending. What happened exactly? So I had to sort of rewind it like a few seconds and sort of have another look. But yeah, it was a very good effect, but it was very subtle.
I don't know whether they've actually seen Ticks from 1993 because it's so similar that you could either think that they've not seen it and they've just done the same thing by mistake, or it's like a fan film because it's literally the same kind of thing, but done in a really, really short amount of time, like three or 4 minutes. And they do set up the characters and everything, but then when it gets to the actual tick action, as it were, or, you know, the real horror, there's not a lot of time spent on it. It's kind of, it happens very quickly. We spend more time establishing the characters than we do with actually dealing with the situation. And I think it would have benefited more for being in the reverse. I mean, that's a lot of the shorts we see are not about, it's, you know, I mean, I'm talking in general, you know, especially with, you know, for example, action movies, you spend your time on the main reason you're there, which is to watch the action. Whereas so, if we were watching a creature feature or something, we might be spending more time with the creature and not with establishing the character. So previously we talked about, you know, attention and bed bug and stuff like that, where we're not establishing character. We're not talking about the characters. We're just in the situation, dealing with the situation. And I think in this case, I did like those, you know, the dialogue scenes and everything, but I wanted more of what was coming next. Mm-hmm.
I think it's, yeah, maybe we've been a bit disingenuous here, though, Rich, because, you know, these people are working within the rules of the competition. And you know, they've got a limited timescape to work in.
In that case, then I would have preferred less talk, more ticks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it does feel like it's like an homage or purely coincidental, very similar. If you like the movie Ticks, I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the final film in this roundup is Unsafe Spaces. A young woman just finished her late shift finds a strange man standing between her and her car. Now, sort of like Bedbug, Rich, you know, this is a story which sort of plays on a familiar fear that I'm sure that a lot of people, especially women, would have felt. You know, her car's parked in a pretty desolate spot. You know, there's only a couple of streetlights between her and the car, and under one of them is this guy having a fag. You know, it's pitch black otherwise. There's no one else around. And, you know, what does she do? She's got to sort of try and, you know, push her fears down and stride towards her car.
And like Bedbug, you know, it's a starkly black and white film, and also playing with those conventions of not playing with the conventions, playing with your expectations.
Absolutely. And I think that's key to this one, is what do you expect to happen? Especially if you're a woman, what do you expect to happen? You know, what are you afraid of is going to happen? You know, there's a whole thing, you know, so a lot of guys will go, well, not all men, you know, hashtag. But you cannot expect that every time. You cannot take that for granted. And I think that's what, you know, you feel fear for this woman, even though all she's doing is walking to her car at night, you know. And if anything happens, you know, that you're kind of thinking, well, what's going to happen? What could happen? All she wants to do is just walk to a car and go home. And yet there is this fear, you know, there's this trepidation for her in this situation. It could be just because, well, we're watching a horror film, so of course we do. But at the same time, it's just such a everyday situation, you know. It doesn't necessarily have to have any horror overtones, and that's how we feel.
And I'm the opposite, because I didn't really feel any of that, and I didn't feel like I didn't get much out of this. I didn't think it actually. I didn't feel it satisfied as a film, and I didn't really. I thought,
yeah.
Well,
as a horror fan, yeah, exactly. As a horror fan, I'm sure you don't, you know. It is an anticlimax.
I was watching it. I was thinking, right, okay, I know what's going to happen here. It's just a rip off of that. I've seen that before. And then, you know, oh no, actually, it's not a rip off of that. It's the same thing as what I thought it was going to be, but without the thing. nothing actually happens. Sorry, that's a spoiler.
but that's I think that's kind of the point. You know, even though nothing happens, it's still a horror situation.
Yeah, I'm not the. It's, you know, it's interesting. We're two guys talking about films that are very much about women and you know, women's situations, and so therefore I'm not reacting. You know, the intention of the film is not something I connect with or whatever. So maybe that's more my fault than, you know, the film's fault.
I remember ages ago I was listening to a podcast by Cracked, and they were talking about sort of, you know, sort of what it is to be a woman in certain situations. And somebody said, well, you know, as a woman, what is the one thing you would really like to be able to do without sort of any care in the world? And sort of she said, well, to wear my earphones at night while I'm walking home. Is that, you know, just that, because, you know, not to have to worry about what's going on around you and all the rest of it. It was, you know, would have been paramount to that person.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it did. What it brought to mind was I remember a time way back when, you know, sort of walking back from the pub and, you know, there's somebody in front of me and you don't think about it, but they seem to be a bit concerned. And what I should have done was just gone to the other side of the road or something. But, you know, I wasn't sensitive to the situation. And you know, you've had a few drinks and whatever. I'm just me, innocent little me. You know, I'm not no threat or whatever. But the perception at night time, you know, somebody on their own,
is
a completely different kettle of fish. And so it did. I was looking at it from kind of the other perspective. It's like that guy there, could have been like me. It's like, why is he, you know, why is he even there in the first place? You know, he should just sort of, oh, he sees that woman. Oh, he should just sort of, you know, get out of the way and, you know, clear out so that she can peacefully come towards the car. I was also wondering why her friend didn't help her walk to the car, because her friend just kind of leaves her.
Just leaves her, yeah, which is ridiculous. But I could see where this was going. Well, not see where it was going, but I appreciate what it was trying to convey. But yeah, it was, from a horror point of view, it's anticlimactic, but in a way that should be good at the same time. But there you go. Okay, Rich, any final thoughts about the whole Shortcuts program?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting selection. I do prefer my short films a bit longer, a bit more. You know, I'm a very much fan of like the 8 minute to 12 minute sort of running time. Flesh things out a bit more. There's some interest, obviously very theme driven, interesting stories. The very broad range there. What I'd like to do actually is sort of ask you, you know, and ask myself, you know, what are our four favorites of these? I mean, there's how many of them? I think there's like eight.
Eight.
So,
yeah.
What would you say are your picks?
I'd go with Attention, Bedbug, The Curse, and Unsafe Spaces.
Mm-hmm.
How about yourself?
I would go with. I would also say, I think Bedbug definitely, and The Curse. I quite liked The Ambition of Reptile House, but my favourite, although you know, I was sort of a bit dismissive of it, was Ticks, to be honest.
Okay, awesome. We didn't mention that the director of Ticks was Rich. Not Rich, but
you know. No, I didn't direct Ticks. The director of Ticks was, if we just magically conjure the information, it was Chloe Carroll.
Chloe Carroll. And Unsafe Spaces was Connor Sandheinrich. I murdered your name. I apologize. Anyway, that is our roundup of the Shortcuts competition. You can find all of these shorts on the Arrow website as well as YouTube, and we shall be putting links to all of them in the footnotes. So thank you to Rich for joining me and talking about all these films.
No problem.
Don't forget to check out our main show, the DTV Digest, and check out our Facebook and Twitter pages at the DTV Digest, and tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the DTV Digest. Let us know your thoughts in the comments and tune in again next time.